Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Sherry is presented by the Writers and Illustrators of the Future. They've been providing a means for new and budding writers to have a chance for the creative efforts to be seen and acknowledged. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we welcome back Ariel Strauss-Brunel. She is a writer, an actress, a voice actor, a lot of stuff. She has been on the show with other casts. She's been in several casts of Sherry's Playhouse. Today she's on her own. Here's Ariel. Hi, Ariel. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Sherry. Thanks for having me.
This is your first solo appearance.
Yes, this is my first time by myself on Chatting with Sherry.
How do you feel Very about cool. it?
I'm a little nervous, not going to lie, but I'm excited too.
Yeah, because this time you're not with the whole... Ariel has been with several casts of Sherry's Playhouse, and so she hasn't been alone. This is the first time just us.
Well, I have to, like, hold this conversation. Like, what is this? I'm an introvert.
Yes, you're going to have to have a whole conversation. Just us. Nobody else jumping in. You can do it. I have faith in you. So let's start with Sherry's Playhouse. Finally, Joe Cronus the second is coming to a radio podcast series.
I'm so excited. When did we record that? Like, how many months has it been?
We finished in the end of January.
Oh my gosh, that was before I got married. That's like so crazy.
We had a little bit more because we had to wait for you to come back from your.
That's right.
We had like some pickups and a little bit more to do.
I remember that. Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess January, February.
Jeez. And it's about time.
And it's almost December, so this broadcast will be in December, so, and hopefully it will be either after or before, but it's going to broadcast.
It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to hear it.
It's actually a much more complex one than the first one.
That's right.
It's kind of weird. But I was in a weird mood when I wrote it.
I got to play an alien in that one.
Well, you got to play two characters.
Oh, that's right. I was Drew, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
You were Drew, and you were Honoria.
That's right.
No, Honoria. Aurora. I can't even talk today. Sorry. You were Aurora, not Honoria. I just made up a new name.
Next Joe Cronus will have a character named Honoria.
Well, I was naming her because she's such a beautiful character after the Aurora, you know, the light. What did you think of doing two characters? How did you deal with it?
I love doing multiple characters. I'm actually sort of doing like a one-woman show right now kind of deal with Ozzet Publishing. We're producing an audiobook in the Intertwined Souls series by Mary D. Brooks. It's Enemy at the Gate. It's the prequel. And it's before even Zoe meet and fall in love. And the narrator of the book is Zoe. And the story takes place, I think, during her time with the Greek Resistance. And I've read for Zoe before in radio plays with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's how Mary knew I could do it. But anyway, I'd never narrated an audiobook, but I always wanted to, so when I was given the opportunity, I was so unbelievably excited. And the crazy thing is I don't have any, like, professional equipment. I recorded the whole thing on my laptop under the blankets in my bedroom. It sounds so professional. There's a clip of the first 6 chapters that you can listen to on the Ozip website. So we have the XB podcasters editing the whole thing. So anytime I complete a chapter, I send it to them, and they add in, like, music and sound effects and whatnot. And the whole thing is just really well done. I'm so proud of it.
Cool.
And it's due to be released. We're trying to publish it through ACX for Amazon Audible in January. Like, publishing is a whole other ballgame, but the process of creating it was really fun. And like I said, I get to read for all the characters in the book, so sometimes Jay, our editor, runs my voice through a simulator to make me sound like a man for the male characters. I've gotten to learn so many accents. Like, Zoe is Greek, so of course I had to master that accent, but I also had to learn how to do a German accent and an Australian accent, which are both considerably hard for me. So, yeah, I love the whole
process. I think German would be easier than Australian. Australian's a bit
of a
stretch.
That's what you'd think. Like, from listening to Ray do German, like, I thought it would be much easier, but for me it's actually pretty hard. So, we shall see.
I think that's really cool.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Actually, Mary always had a lot of faith in you. She requested, when the character of Zoe became available, she requested that you play her.
Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah.
She has, like, so much faith in me. It's unbelievable. Thank you, Mary, if you're listening.
But yeah, she actually did. She requested that, like I said, that you play that character.
Aw, I'm so touched.
It was your baby.
She is amazing.
So now you're going on and you're playing all the characters.
Uh-huh, exactly. So if I can master that German accent, maybe I can play Eva in the next one.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of, like, I've never actually, I'm not a big, I have 2 audiobooks, but I really don't listen to audiobooks, I rather read.
Yeah.
And so I have nothing against it, I think it's great. But I can't imagine, I think it's, what's his name, the actor? Stephen Fry, I think his name is? Anyway, he does all the Harry Potter characters.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
But it's like, I can't, because he has that very British voice, you know. And I just can't imagine him doing it. But they show a little segment of him doing some stuff from the first chapter of the last book. And I went, whoa, that's impressive.
I gotta listen to that, because I've been meaning to reread Harry Potter, but I just don't have the time. But, like, sometimes I read before I go to bed, and maybe it would be cool to listen to the audiobook.
Yeah, sometimes it's weird. I've never liked technology as a book. I like books.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually have gotten into, because I have to read so many ebooks for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually gotten into both audiobooks and ebooks. But I just got it as a gift. A new ebook called The Mysterious Death of Jane Austen.
Ooh,
it's
interesting.
It's really interesting, Ariel. You'll like it. Because it comes from the governess's, her brother's children's governess point of view.
Okay.
So it's a different thing. I can't really describe it, but definitely, so far, I'm hooked. I think about 48% through, according to Goodreads.
Okay.
And that's another thing, I track my reading through Goodreads so I know how far I am.
That's pretty great.
I started doing that for the they have a thing every year. How many books do you read?
Oh, neat.
So I started doing it for that. But actually, it's over because I've already made my quota. So anything I do is gravy.
So, like, do you set a goal for yourself at the beginning of the year? Like, I want to read this many books, and then you track your progress, and then what?
Well, I had a busy year I was supposed to have, which I didn't. So I only put, last year I put 50 books, this year I put 30 books, because I didn't think I was going to have time.
But hey, you have all the time in the world now.
I've already made the 30 books, and I'm getting more books in.
Oh my goodness gracious.
So everything I get is gravy now. But yeah, it's kind of cool because any of your friends on Goodreads who are taking part in it, you can see how they're doing on the content.
Yeah, I think I'm on Goodreads. I just don't use it. I should make use of that because I have reading goals too.
It's really cool. I really recommend it because actually it's cool because you keep track of yourself.
That's cool.
And you also can see what your friends are doing.
Well, I will friend you on Goodreads. I think that should be a thing that happens.
Yeah, I mean, and then next year we'll both put in for the how many books you're going to read this year thing. And, well, we could have, like, a little contest to see.
We can compete. We can read more books. Let's have a win.
Well, you remember, I don't actually count the books I read for the show. I only count my pleasure books.
Oh, okay. Wow, so that's, like, a lot more reading than you would actually log.
Because the year before I did, and I didn't think, actually, afterwards, I did, like, about 65, and I put down 50, and I thought, you know, it's not really fair, because this is, like, putting down what I'm doing for work as part of my pleasure reading. So this year I decided I'd only put things that I'm reading because I want to.
That's great.
Even though I enjoyed a lot of those books that I read for work. So I guess it was pleasure, too.
Right. And you're pumping them up on your show, so.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, it's interesting because, and you can tell what books get you right away, that you're like, boom, 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 and then what books, you're kind of, it started slow, like you may read 3 pages and then 4, and then 5, and then all of a sudden you're at 30. You're like, oh, I got hooked there. Okay.
my quota here.
No, I meant 30 pages.
Oh.
It actually tracks how many pages you're reading.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
many books are cool that way.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I only recently I've been doing this stuff. Because I always wanted just to read my books. I didn't want to, other than sharing it with friends, maybe mentioning it on the show, I wasn't really much into the technology of it.
Yeah, I wasn't too big into it either, but when the Xena book came out on Kindle, I rushed to buy it because I couldn't wait to read it. And there's a lot of really cool titles on Kindle that I've been meaning to check out.
I know, my Kindle's getting full. I couldn't believe it. I thought at first, the first half of my Kindle is just work stuff. And some of them are like, aren't on Kindle. They're like, you can share your book before it gets published and that kind of stuff. So that's in my email.
Yeah.
But now my Kindle's full of pleasure books. It's got Miss Fisher and Agatha Christie and Jane Austen and the new Agatha Christie Perot's, and I'm just, it's like,
like an entire bookshelf with you to go. It's amazing.
Yeah, but I still prefer a real book.
I know. I feel the same.
But it's also, like, my Miss Fisher books, the Franny Fisher books, they're in Australia, and they're published in Australia, and because of the publishing and the cost of mail and all that, they're much more expensive. So when they go on sale, though, I buy. Yeah, because every once in a while, one of the, like Barnes & Noble or Amazon, one of them go on sale, and I go, yes, I want that. Okay, so we talked about the radio play and Mary's book that you're doing, all the characters. Yes. Now we're going to talk about your book.
Oh, my books. Yes, I did just publish three novels that I wrote in college with Ozip Publishing, which is so exciting. And they were just released on Halloween. Yeah.
So tell us about them. What's the names? What's it about? Tell us about it.
Okay, so do you know what National Novel Writing Month is?
Yes.
NaNoWriMo?
Yes.
Well, it's November, actually. So today is the last day. So any person trying to finish their novel has to do it today. But so I wrote my first book in February 2010, which was AnTwiNoWriMo, which is for Twilight Novel Writing Month. So for those of you who don't know, Twilight is a hugely popular young adult paranormal romance series by Stephenie Meyer about a vampire and a werewolf both falling in love with a human girl, and she has to pick the one she loves more. And it's notoriously terrible. It's terribly written, the vampires sparkle. The human girl is supposed to be flawless and irresistible, but she's completely flat and emotionless. And let's not mention how the main romance is completely unhealthy and abusive. So anyway.
Okay, I won't mention it. I promise. I will not say a word.
Yes. So the point of AnTwiNoWriMo is to write a story that rights all the supposed wrongs of Twilight. And you have the entire month of February to do it. But unfortunately, February is the shortest month of the year.
Yes.
But 19-year-old me was like, challenge accepted. So I set out to write a romance between two women and their college students, and one of them is a ghost, and she was murdered. And the whole first book, is called The Wraith. It's her falling in love while she's simultaneously trying to figure out who murdered her. And a lot of it is pretty tongue-in-cheek, but it deals with the seriousness of trauma and surviving sexual abuse, you know, which are serious topics, but because the premise is so far-fetched, it's easy to detach, I think, from the seriousness of it. So, anyway, I outlined the whole story my freshman year at Sarah Lawrence. I outlined all three books and what I wanted to have happen in each of them, and I started writing February 1st of my freshman year. And I remember reading the first few chapters out loud to my roommates, and they were so excited and receptive of the story and curious about what would happen next that it got me to continue writing until the book was completely finished by the end of the month. And then I wrote a new book in the series every single year that I was in college, except I think junior year. And so they're called The Wraith, The Huntress, and The Heiress, and you can get all three books in a bundle for, I think, under $3 or something on Amazon Kindle.
Cool.
Or you can wait until mid-December and purchase them in paperback.
I think I'd wait for the paperback.
Yeah. A lot of people are, but, I mean, you can't beat $3.
No, you can't beat $3. That's why I like it. You don't have to worry about delivery, and you don't have you can't beat the prices for Kindle.
Right, exactly. And you can just have free books with you at all times.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I do too. I'm starting to get my I'm starting not to be anti-tech. Just a little bit, Ariel. Just a little, not all the way.
Just dipping her feet in.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to say something about what you were talking about writing the books.
Yeah.
You were talking about how you wanted to see how the characters developed and stuff. I think one of the most important things for any author is that you're entertaining yourself. It has
exactly.
to be something you're excited about and you enjoy, because mm-hmm. who else is going to enjoy it if you don't?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I saw, like, sort of the structure of the story in my mind and, like, realized that it would take, like, three books to have everything happen. So, I mean, they're short books. So I guess, I mean, you could combine them into one big book, but it's more fun to have a series, I think. So, Yeah, so, and it helped having them in February because, like, it made me sort of rush to finish them, and then, you know, it gave me all this time to edit, so.
Well, I mean, that's good, though. That's very healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And I did it for schoolwork. Like, my professors let me do it for, like, my projects, like, my personal projects, and they helped me edit it and everything, so it's really neat.
That's really cool. I'm really excited for you. I think congratulations. You also will be having a play next year in Cherry's Playhouse, your first play that you wrote.
That's right. And I don't know if I can say too much about it now.
Not yet. Just give a little idea of what the loop line is, you know, what the character... not telling anything away, but what it's about.
It's Romeo and Juliet reincarnated in the future.
Okay, that's fun.
Post-COVID, so, like, that's included in there. And, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it right now.
Well, it's funny how COVID affects, you know, we did Dimness this year, my play, about COVID. It was more about lockdown than the COVID. It was more about the isolation and desperately, humans need communications, humans need to have somebody in their life. It's something that I think you're discovering more and more as this thing has been going on.
Oh, yes, and to tell you the truth, doing that play, like, really helped me during that time, like, feel like I had connection and, like, art to make with other people. it was kind of a lifesaver.
Yeah, I felt that way, too. I think, I think Ray said the same thing, and Janae. Yeah, it was something that just helped us through.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that was it was like my poem that I wrote, Hear My Voice, was because there's a period at the beginning of the year that I lost a lot of things, people and animals.
Yeah.
So I get very depressed between January and March.
Yeah, that's a hard time.
And also April, because my mom passed in April, so that's extended. So it's like a long period, big chunk. So I kind of focus myself on my writing during that time.
Yeah, good.
And so that's one of the reasons I wrote the poem, Hear My Voice. It was. I kept saying that to people. Don't you hear me? Don't you hear what I'm saying? Can't you hear what I'm saying? Nobody seemed to be listening to me because I was so upset about everything, especially last year, and nobody was listening to me. And that wasn't even this year. It wasn't even through this hell. That was last year.
And I just
nobody was listening to me, and that's why I got published and blah blah blah, which is really nice, and I'm really proud of it. But really, I wanted someone to notice that I'm here.
I see you, Sherry. Hi.
Do you see me?
Hi. It's so weird. Like, we live in the same town, but we've never met in person. And now it's going to be even harder.
I know. We've been friends for, what, 5 years?
No, like two.
Was it two?
It feels like five, but yeah, it's two.
Oh, my God. It feels like we've known each other forever.
I know.
Oh, well. That's okay. 2 years is good.
Yeah.
But I mean, I have met Janae.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually met her before I started doing the radio, having her on the radio plays, because she it was at a science fiction convention here in San Diego that I go to. She organized, she manages it.
That's so cool.
And so that's how I met her. And we were talking about it one day, and I said, well, you know, I have people doing acting. It's all radio, it's all voice. Would you be interested? And she said, sure. So, yeah, I actually know her.
So, like, you met her in person and then recruited her.
Yeah.
Like, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
I think I met you because of Mary. She was like, she told me that there were auditions for her radio play. I had to submit a sample to you, and that's how we met.
Yep. And I met you because she met you at the Xena retreat, and she said the opening had come up for Zoe, and she said when I saw her at the Xena retreat, she reminded me of Zoe. She was just my Zoe, and she wanted you. I mean, there was no question. You were cast. You were the first person cast in that that first episode that you played Zoe.
I'm so grateful. That's just so sweet. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like me as Mabel. I didn't ask for it. Mary heard my voice, and she just said, "You're Mabel." I go, "I'm an 80-year-old woman."
Like, excuse me?
And she goes, no. She goes, "I just want your centerness and your strength and all the good stuff." And
yeah,
it's not that you're 80.
Right. You know, 80-year-old women are women who just happen to be 80. Like, we're all, we've all had experiences in life.
It's like a 20-year-old, you know. I mean,
exactly.
We're all people.
Yes.
People who need people. Oh God. Anyway, So the book on the recorded book. When is that going to be coming out?
So that's due to come out early next year. Hopefully January. We're going to try to get it before the end of January.
And is that going to be going through Mary's Publishing, or is that going through some other...
Yeah,
how's
that
coming
out? Auzip Publishing, but I think we're calling it Auzip Audio now because we're starting to do more audiobooks together.
Cool.
We make a cool team, so...
That's cool.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
And then... And your book is already out as an ebook. Is it Kindle, you said?
Yes, it's a bundle on Kindle. And I think that promotion's only going for the next month. And then we're going to slowly release them in paperback.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And Joe Cronus is going to be coming out probably in a couple of weeks from this date that we're actually doing this tape, so it'll be soon. You'll all hear it one way or another.
For Joe Cronus, you have no idea.
Well, I mean, me too. It's my baby, Ariel. I wrote it.
Like blood, sweat, and tears to make this one.
I mean, the first one was easy peasy, really, even with all the drama of getting everybody on board and all that stuff. It was easy peasy. This one has been, and even though all the actors really worked together and went really well together, and there was no drama at all. All the drama was after.
Right. It was post production.
That's where it all hit. It's really strange.
Well, when it's finished, it's gonna be so worth it.
It's so fun. It's everybody does an exquisite job. It's my vision. It's a lot of the characters from the first Joe Cronus. The first Joe Cronus, everybody was my vision too. The voices were perfect. I was so proud of you.
Aww.
And the second Joe Cronus, same thing. I mean, it's the way I hear it in my head. My head is very busy. Because I have radio plays and books and all and short stories and all this other stuff, and I'm like, shut up!
Yeah, Sherry's had this chatting with her.
I don't need to talk to other people. My head talks to me. The demons of being a writer. But any other writer will tell you that that happens, and I'm sure you go through it too. It just, you get it down on paper a lot of the time, so we'll just shut up.
For real. But even then, sometimes it's like, oh, I forgot to write this.
Oh yeah, it niggles. If it niggles, yeah. you have to do it. There was a short story that I wrote, and I wrote it because it just wouldn't leave me alone. I get attacked by it mostly just before I go to bed or when I just wake up, and it is like, but this one was all the time. It was just in the back of my head, and I'm like, I'm concentrating here, shut up.
Your muse is like, you need to write this right now.
Yeah. It's weird. But once you do, peace.
Yep.
But I worried when I first started writing that I was going out of my head. Until I shared it with my dad, because he was a writer when he was young, and he explained, "No, that's part of being a writer." I go, "Oh, good. So I'm not crazy." No, you're not crazy.
Yeah. Writers often think they've gone crazy. I swear, it's just creativity, and it's a wonderful thing to have.
And it's good because it's like, you hear the voice of your characters. If you don't actually hear the voice of the characters, it'll never ring really true when you're reading it back. You have to hear that voice.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've never heard a writer not say that. I don't know if you agree with me.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I've never experienced writing where I didn't hear somebody's voice, which is so interesting. It's like, you've never met this person, come completely from your head. So, yeah.
Well, we're coming to the end, so do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's arielstrauss.com. I also have a Facebook page, and it's Ariel Strauss Bruland, because I took my wife's name, so
okay.
I have a married name now. And I update both of those pretty frequently. So.
And your social media?
Yes, my Facebook page, Ariel Strauss Bruland.
Okay.
I actually update that more often than the website, but you can go ahead and check out the website because it's got clips of Sherry's plays on there and other stuff I've been doing. So.
Are you on Twitter or Instagram or any of those others?
Not for my professional work, unfortunately, no.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you for taking time out to come and chat with me.
Thank you, Sherry, for having me. It's always great to talk to you.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.